Cape Talk.
Health and wellness.
Health and wellness. And I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Salima Nosaka. She's an obstetrician and gynecologist at Tygerberg Hospital. Today we're talking about fertility and IVS. And if you have any questions, and perhaps you've been on this journey, struggling to have a baby, maybe IVF helped you have a baby, perhaps you went the surrogacy route or the adoption route, or you're still trying to have a baby, please, I'd love to hear your story. 021-446-0567 or WhatsApp to 072-567-1567 or an SMS to 31567. You can also tweet me at Melanie Jane Rice or at Cape Talk. Dr. Nosaka, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Researching this topic, there's so much new that's out there. The biggest thing that stood out for me was three-parent babies. Can you talk a little bit about, because I know there was a baby that was born in Mexico last year where they actually used the DNA of three different adults.
Yeah. I just want to say in South Africa, we're not doing much of that at the moment.
Okay.
It is possible, for example, you use an egg donor and you use the eggs from the egg donor, fertilize it with a sperm from the dad, for example, because the mom's egg quality is poor. And then you create an embryo and prepare the recipient, the wife who doesn't have good eggs, prepare her uterus. And then once you have the embryo, put that embryo into her uterus and then she has the baby. So then there are three people involved.
And the DNA though?
The DNA then is from the donor. It won't be from the mom. So the mom won't have her own genetic material. It will be from the donor.
So it's an egg donor,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
But doing it in a different way.
Yeah.
There was another report that said that women over 42 are being duped because actually the success rate is 5%. Is that true or not?
Yeah, we say between 2 and 5%. So as you get old, from the time you're in your uterus as a girl, your eggs, you have got a certain number of eggs that you're born with. And as you every month getting your periods when you're young, the eggs are getting less. Up until the age of 35, the success rate is much better. So we advise people if they want to conceive to try and do it before 35 because then your chances are good. When you get to 38, 39, 40, your egg quality is declining by the day. And at 42, as you say, the success rate is only 5% because although you're still menstruating, although you're still producing eggs, the egg quality is not that good. And that's why it's more difficult for that egg to give you a baby eventually.
For women who are older and a lot more of us, I mean, I had my last baby at the age of 38. If there's less success, is egg freezing the way to go?
Egg freezing is the way to go, but again, this is more in younger patients. So if people want to freeze, so who should do egg freezing? People that are single, people that, but ideally it should be before the age of 35. 35 is sort of the magical age where you tell people to try and have your babies before 35. If we look at the definition of infertility and you under 35, then we say you must try for a year before seeking help. If you're over 35, we say wait 6 months. And if nothing's happening, then you should seek help. So for egg freezing, if you're single, if you're 31, 32, and you don't have a partner and you're thinking of maybe having a child later, then you do an IVF cycle where you get stimulated, produce the eggs, and then freeze the eggs. They can be frozen for up to 5 to 10 years.
Even if you don't know that you're going to have any problems conceiving in the future?
It's just kind of like an insurance policy.
And how much would that cost?
In private, IVF per se is about between 40 and 50,000. At Tygerberg, where I work, we've got a low-cost program where it's between 8 and 10,000. But to do the egg freezing would probably be about 30,000 rand because then the reason why it's expensive is because you need to take the medication so that you can produce the eggs. And then you have to have the egg retrieval procedure where the eggs are extracted. And then once they're extracted, they need to be frozen. So that's where the cost. The only extra with a normal IVF cycle is where you would fertilize the eggs, grow them in the lab to make an embryo, and then put the embryo in to let it implant.
It's a very emotive topic, and I also know that so many of my friends have gone through problems, and miscarriages are a huge problem. There's an SMS saying, I had two miscarriages in 8 months. What are my options? I am 33. I have healthy ovaries and a healthy uterus.
Okay, so with miscarriages, it's quoted that 1 in 3 women, whether you're young or old, will have a miscarriage just spontaneously for genetic reasons or whatever, because not obviously every embryo is equal to a healthy baby. But if you've had 2 or 3, then it has to be investigated. Also, that depends on if it was the first trimester or the second trimester.
By investigate, you mean go and see your gynecologist?
Yeah, so go and see a gynecologist. The uterus needs to be investigated. There could be an anatomical problem inside the uterus where there's maybe a growth or an indentation called a septum. And if the embryo implants there, that could cause a miscarriage. If it's later on, like in the second trimester, say between 13 and 25 weeks, there could be a problem with the mouth of the womb, the cervix, where it doesn't close properly. Or there could be some chronic infection like TB. So there are many different causes. Sometimes there could also be a genetic cause, but this would more likely cause miscarriages in the first trimester, say before 13 weeks.
And how invasive are the tests to find out what the problem is?
Okay, you get different types of tests. So you get blood tests, and there's a whole host of them. But depending on the history, the doctor would then be guided as to which tests are most relevant to do. And then also there's some surgical test, which is called a hysteroscopy. And a hysteroscopy is where you give the patient anesthetic, you go into the uterus with a camera and visualize the inside of the uterus, because that is the endometrial cavity and that is where the embryo is going to implant and that's where the baby is going to grow. So that can be done, and medical aids generally do cover this procedure.
A wonderful SMS coming through from Robin saying, "Hi Melanie, we struggled for many years to fall pregnant. We eventually tried IVF and we now have a beautiful little girl. It's a tough process and expensive, but is so worthwhile."
Yeah, IVF is it's emotionally taxing, it's financially taxing, it causes problems, not problems, but it causes conflict. I always say, you know, men and women have different needs and different how they deal with things. So you'll do a cycle. We always tell patients that in a young patient who has a good egg quality, the success rate for IVF is only 30 to 40%. So it's never 100%.
And you're spending how much per IVF?
In private, between 40 and 50,000. And, you know, there's no guarantee. So people ask, will you get a baby? And there's just no answer whether you will.
Emotional itself, because many people, I know friends of mine that have saved up, you know, for months and months and months for something that has a 30 to 40% chance of working. And that in itself is incredibly taxing.
It is. And it's also for the woman. She's got to take hormones. She's got to take injections and tablets. And it messes with your mind. It makes you have symptoms and be irritable and moody. And the poor husband doesn't know what's going on. He just sees the wife crying and emotional. So then there's and you're feeling bloated and swollen. And then you have to have the procedure. And it does take a lot out. And that's why it's often good to see a psychologist, because I always tell the patients, the man, if it doesn't work, he's like, okay, we'll try again and we'll move on. And the woman wants answers. She's more emotional and she wants to know, why hasn't it worked? What have I done wrong? You know, you feel responsible. So sometimes if you've been struggling for a while and it is putting strain on you or on your marriage, it's often good to see a psychologist who specializes in this type of thing. And then, you know, it can just help to alleviate the extra stress.
And what kind of timeline are we talking about per IVF treatment?
Okay, so when you do IVF treatment, it's all planned according to your period. So your period will be day one, which is the start of your menstrual cycle. The medication then normally is from the 3rd to the 12th day. So it's 10 days of injections or tablets, hormones, and the reason for these hormones are to make the eggs grow. The patient then comes for scans on the 8th day, the 10th day, and the 12th day of the cycle. So the reason why we scan every second day is because we want to see the growth of the follicle. Now, the follicle is like a little cyst, and in the follicle is fluid, and in the fluid is an egg. Now, not every follicle has an egg, and not every egg is good. So basically, you're seeing the patient every second day, and you're monitoring how the egg is growing. Once they get to the right size, which is about 18 millimeters, you then give a trigger, which is an injection that you give the evening. And then 36 hours after this injection, you go and you extract the eggs under anesthetic or local or general or conscious sedation, which is where you asleep. And then that's normally about the 14th day. That's when a person naturally would ovulate. So then the eggs are extracted under a sedation. Once they're extracted, we get the sperm sample from the husband or the partner. And then depending on the quality of the sperm, we will then either inject the sperm directly into the egg or put the sperm and the egg together in a dish called IVF. And the next day we'll check for fertilization, which will be the 15th day of the cycle. And then we let the embryos grow another 3 to 5 days and see how they grow. And then look at them under the microscope. And then round about day 17 or day 19 of your cycle, we will then transfer the embryos back in. That's like having a pap smear. It's just where you draw up the embryo into a little catheter, put the spec, which is the pap smear instrument, in and inject it. And then 10 days later, on day 27, day 29, the pregnancy test will be done to see if the treatment has been successful or not.
And if it hasn't been successful, how long before another IVF treatment?
Generally, the feeling was that you should wait a month, just because your body's gone through a lot emotionally, physically, so you just need to give yourself a break. And then a month later, you can try again. If it's an older patient who's not making many eggs, you can even try every month. But I think it's very emotionally and physically taxing, so it's good just to take a break of a month.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Salima Nosaka. She's an obstetrician and gynecologist at Tygerberg Hospital and an expert in IVF and fertility. If you've been on this journey, or you are going on this journey right now, going through the struggling to conceive a baby, give us a call, 021-446-0567, or you can send a WhatsApp voice note or text message to 072-567-1567.
Cape Talk. Health and wellness.
21 minutes past 2 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, my name is Melanie Rice, and today we're talking about fertility and IVF. Salima, the rise in the number of twins, I think I saw a stat that said that the number of twin births in the United States has gone up by 75%. Does that sound right to you?
It sounds a little bit high. I think, I'm not sure in the U.S., if there aren't, is this with IVF? Or,
IVF.
So with IVF, what happens is when you have the embryo, you need to decide how many embryos you're going to transfer back into the woman's uterus.
And there's pressure for success.
Yeah, there is pressure. And then financially also, you know, to come once, to come twice, to come three times, it's quite a lot. So in Europe, in Belgium, France, Italy, they have law. The government actually pays for 3 IVF cycles. So if you live in those countries, you're lucky to have 3 cycles. But they're so scared about multiple, like twin pregnancies, because if babies are born with twins, they normally come prematurely. They're then in ICU for sometimes 2 to 4 weeks. They have developmental problems. So they actually frown upon twin pregnancies. And therefore, in these countries, there are laws that only one good embryo is allowed to be transferred at a time. So your chance of having a singleton, one pregnancy is high instead of 2. And then if it doesn't work, you can try a second and a third time. In South Africa, there's no law about this. So us as clinicians, what we normally practice is if you're under the age of 35, we wouldn't transfer more than 2 good embryos, because the success rate, as I said, is between 30 and 40%. So if you transfer 2, there is a chance of 2, but often it doesn't work. So I think it just depends. But if you're an older, say you're 40 or 42, then you could transfer 3 embryos, because the chance of success is only about 5 to 10%.
It doesn't generally go over 3.
No. Okay. I had one patient recently, and I'm not proud of this, but she was 32. She had one cycle in January and it was unsuccessful. And then she came for the second cycle in March, and we transferred 2 embryos that were good. And when we scanned, actually she had 3. So one of them split. One of the embryos split. So the 2 that we put in, both of them implanted, and then the second one split.
Wow.
And I told her, that is an act of God. That's not in my hands.
There's a question about, is it true that sitting too much and fatty food can affect sperm production? We've been trying for a year and nothing.
I don't think sitting too much, but your diet definitely plays a role. I think if the guy is overweight, you know, there are issues. If he's diabetic, possibly, it can also affect the sperm quality. Also, smoking affects sperm. Alcohol affects sperm. Sometimes guys are using, in these days, they're more aware of supplements. But in the past, like bodybuilders would use these heavy steroids, and that would reduce the sperm count as well.
An SMS, hi, Melanie. We tried the IVF route, but it was unsuccessful and depressing. So we decided to adopt a baby, and it's been an absolutely wonderful experience. She's 6 now and the apple of our eyes. There are so many children that need loving homes. It almost seems wrong to go the IVF route.
That's a good comment. The only thing is that often you see patients and the egg quality is very poor, or the sperm is very poor, and you actually tell them that there's no way, really, either using donor eggs or donor sperm, to have a baby. and you suggest the option of adoption. But I think what most people want is they want their own genetic material. They want to feel that their genes are being transferred. And
it's certainly such a personal choice.
Yeah, it is a personal thing. So some patients are keen on adoption. And I agree, there are many children around that need to be adopted. But I think it's a personal choice. And as the doctor, you can just advise. And then the patient's got the final decision to decide if they are willing to adopt a baby or not.
We were talking earlier about multiple births. Does that pressure for success, for a successful birth, can it blur ethical lines?
It can, but as a doctor, you have to protect yourself and you have to be very careful. Because if you ask a patient how many embryos do you want to transfer, she'll say put in all four. And you as the doctor know that's not a good idea. You only want to put the two good ones. What we can do also is if you have a lot of good embryos, say you've got four good ones and you want to transfer, you can put back two and then you can freeze two. So we spoke about egg freezing earlier, but embryo freezing is also something that's done very often. So if you do a cycle and you've got extra embryos that are good, you can freeze them. If the patient becomes pregnant, she can have a pregnancy, and maybe in 2 years' time when she wants to return, she doesn't have to go through the whole process of IVF again. She's got those embryos. And the success rate with embryo freezing and frozen embryo transfer is as good as a fresh transfer. Actually, today in the literature worldwide, there's a trend to, they say that when you do an IVF cycle, your body is going through a lot of inflammation and trauma with the medication and with the procedure. And sometimes it's better to, in some countries, they do freeze all, where they extract the eggs, get the sperm, fertilize it, let the embryo grow and freeze the embryos. And then at a different stage, do a more natural cycle where you're not pumping your body with hormones. Thaw out two of the embryos, then transfer. And the results are as good as a fresh IVF cycle.
Anonymous wants to know the ethics of unused embryos.
Okay, unused embryos, if we ever freeze embryos, the patients always have to sign a legal document to say both the husband and the wife have to sign it. So say you have embryos frozen, and in the event of the death of the husband then has to decide that he gives the embryos over to the wife to use, or the other way around, if the wife, something happens to her, the husband can use it. Also, some patients would then say that if they are pregnant, they will let us know to discard the embryos. Now, an embryo is not a baby. An embryo is a potential baby. So if we thaw out the embryos once they're frozen, not all will survive. And then sometimes patients will also say they can be donated to another couple.
And do they have to specify before that embryo is frozen?
Yes, yes.
They have to specify exactly what happens afterwards.
Yeah, we have different scenarios, and they have to actually give input on each one. Can the embryos be used for research? Can they be donated to another couple? Can the spouse have it in the event of death? So you have to do this before the time, because if a problem arises later, then legally and ethically it's a big problem, and you know, it's not a good idea to get yourself into that mess.
There's one more SMS, and I'm going to quickly get in. Good afternoon. I know this has nothing to do with your current chat. However, I had a vasectomy about 15 years ago. And my wife has medical conditions not allowing her to fall pregnant. Do I have sperm that can be fetched and fertilize an egg?
Yeah, if you've had a vasectomy and it's so long ago, then you can't do a reversal of vasectomy, but you can do a testis biopsy, which is where the you have an anesthetic and then you go into the testicular tissue, so into the testicle itself where the sperm is being produced. So if you've had a vasectomy, it means, or you're still producing sperm, the sperm is just not coming out. So you can do the procedure, extract the sperm, then get the eggs, and then take that sperm out and inject it into the egg. So it is possible after a vasectomy, if you have a testis biopsy, to then use the sperm to fertilize an egg and have a baby.
It's a fascinating discussion.
We often see patients like that where the husband's a bit older and he, you know, gets remarried. It's a second marriage, always family completed, and now has a second marriage. And we do get good results with these procedures.
Dr. Salima Norsaka, thank you so much for your time. We're going to have you back again in the future to answer all the questions that have been coming through this afternoon.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show this afternoon.